It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Good evening and happy new year, everybody. You are listening or watching Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than driving N-words. You can join our chat room, the Den Pen, by going to davincomedy.com and clicking live broadcast. Also, you can watch us on Facebook Live on the Davin's Den page on Facebook. Audio is better on davincomedy.com, but the video is here for you on Facebook. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I am joined by the working injured, but still here because he's a trooper, Joe Curry. Hello, Joe.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. And Pip, emotionally damaged since I've known her, but also working through it. Hello, Pip.
Hey, everybody.
So here's what we're working with tonight. My toys are broken. It's the island of broken toys. Joe has laryngitis, so yay? I'll let you decide. And Pip has cat issues because it's a new year, so there's new cat issues. So Pip is working through that, but I'm fucking amazeballs, kid. So I'll carry the show, and Joe and Pip will add in as they can. I feel Pip will be good, and, you know, Joe won't be able to fucking contain himself. We know that. He'll fucking lose his voice, but you know what? That's his plumbing company's problems, not mine. Okay, on the show, a student gets kicked out of college when a video of her dropping the N-word from several years ago surfaces. There's talk of a racist registry in England, a list for those refusing to take the COVID vaccine in Spain, the annual list, one of my favorite, the annual list of Lake Superior State's banished words. We do that every year. We go through the words and we send them out with a flourish of creativity, or not so much. Drunks in the news and scamming scammers. So much. Happy New Year, guys. Thank you for joining us. Hello, Joe, Pip. Glad you guys are here. Another year. Feeling good. 2021. Now that we turned the calendar, everything's groovy. Everything's better. It was that nasty 2020. I knew it was going to be a problem when they named a shitty news show after it. And your vision is 2020. I knew that year was going to be shit from the get-go. But now that it's 2021, good things abound. I feel good about it. So I got a gig this. I got a gig this weekend, which I didn't think I had, because I had it, and then they'd been shut down for weeks in December, so I just, like, crossed that off as another canceled gig. Might as well keep the old cancellations rolling, because I'd already lost a January gig. But then I get an email from the booker that the gig is still on, and, you know, as luck would have it, my calendar was still open.
Everybody's calendar's still open.
Some people are working.
Really?
Depends where you live. So this gig is in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Happy to be going back there. This will be the first time since this whole thing started in March where I will be doing 45 to 60 minutes. I think I did 45 minutes one other time since this started, but I only had to do 30. So that was a lot easier. So I got to do 45 to 60 minutes. Which, you know, when you're doing these short shows and these Zoom shows, you're doing 10, 15, 20. And the good thing about the virtual shows is you can cheat. You don't have to, you know, you can look down at your notes and nobody can tell. That's the beautiful thing about the virtual shows. I can't really do that live. And I got to go, and I've talked about this before, I got to go through things because it's everything's evolving. You mean I have a whole new opening now with the COVID stuff, but even we've been in this so long, so you can't use all that. The political stuff is evolving. Then I got to dig up old shit, and I got to try to find 45 minutes of it, and I'm closing these shows, so it can't just be 45 minutes of meh. I can't have that. you know, it's got to be.
Well, you're good at crowd work. You probably do a lot of crowd work. So
well, well, here's the thing. I don't know. I don't know what crowds there'll be because it's you know, there's still a pandemic going on. The place has been shut down for several weeks. Now it's a huge room. Huge room with a high stage, so I'm guessing they're going to spread people out, which is hard when you're doing comedy. So I got that stressor going on. But
it's,
this is,
you know what though, it's just a fact, a fact, and you know, just a fact from doing, you know, from doing shows. I mean, like I said, I've done Mohegan Sun and Uncle Vinny's, so I'm not saying, oh, I've been all up. No, just those two shows. But you know, the social distancing, it's like the worst seating job ever, but it has to be that way. You figure it out.
Well, that is true. We certainly have performed at a lot of worst seating jobs ever. Now, here's the part that really gets me anxious. This is the first time since this whole thing started that I'm staying in a hotel. Because I remember I was working on the road, probably with the Rona, when everything was getting shut down. But now we know so much more about it. It's like, oh, and I got to stay at a hotel. That's what gives me anxiety. So now it's like I got to bring the hand sanitizer. I got to bring the Clorox wipes. I'm bringing my own pillows. I'm bringing my own
Bring Lysol. Spray the shit out of the room with Lysol.
I guess people stayed in hotels, but listen, not to get too much into it. This isn't the Hilton. So, you know, when you have some of these higher end corporate entities, there's a protocol in place. And I put it up on my Facebook page. Hey, what do you guys think about staying in the hotel? And everybody's like, oh, yeah, we stayed in a Hilton and we stayed in this one and they had everything sealed and everything. I'm thinking, yeah, this isn't going to be that. So the other alternative is I could drive 3 hours back and forth. God bless you. But I don't really want to do that. So I'm a little nervous. So I got all this anxiety. Comedy used to be the thing that did not cause anxiety. Because I got to the point where I was so good at it and my career was going nowhere, there was nothing to be anxious about. Just do this.
Treat it like when you take a gig and go, you'll be staying at a condo. Which, for people, civilians, condo means camping, where you bring all of your shit.
But it's more than that, Joe. It's more at the condo. You don't use the shampoo because you're afraid another comic jizzed in it. I mean, with Rona, and it's a valid fear.
I don't think Corona could survive a condo.
Corona go fuck it. I'm out of here. It's a little too much. A little too dirty.
Corona, like, both fuck this. I'll go somewhere else.
Is it more likely that somebody just? I'm sorry, Joe. Is it more likely that somebody jizzed in this shampoo at a comedy condo than in a hotel?
No. Yes, that's what I'm talking about, in the comedy condo. But with Corona, it's in the air. So it's not just don't use that, don't touch this. Also, I haven't eaten inside of a restaurant since this started. So now I don't really have a choice with that either. I'm probably going to wind up eating inside somewhere. So I got like all this.
Is there a Subway sandwich shop in town? Go to a Subway and just eat in a car. You like tuna sauce?
Yes.
Well, I might.
Jesus, do you ever? Holy cow.
But, you know, even if I bring it back to the hotel room, I'm still bringing it inside. I'm not going to sleep with the door open. It's going to be in the 20s. So, and I could get mugged. It's just like a lot of stress. I mean, I'm going to bring my own microphone. I don't know if they've had comics bring their own microphones, but that's what I've been doing since this has started. I'm bringing my own microphone. Now, the one good thing is the stage is really high. So the audience is close, but the stage is really high. So I don't know how they're going to seat them, but that should protect me more. But if anybody's ever seen me, I really like, you know, getting close to the audience. Again, I'm going to pull back and everything. I'll probably start going over my act on Thursday, which is was just stuff I never did. Never, you know, I never had to go through a set list and watch old videos. I knew this shit. Now I got to. Now it's got to be a job. And what's the point?
Let me tell you something. We all had to go through it. We all had to go through it. I was working with a couple of guys that hadn't gone up yet. You know, I was sitting at the table. Holy smokes, what do I do? And it's like, just, you know, go over it. I mean, I've been doing the workshops because I did a lot of those workshops to get prepped. You know, because I was down at Uncle Vinny's and Mohegan, and Mohegan Sun is no way to start since March. You know, so once you figure it out, and get that in. You know, you'll figure it out. And you're perfectly right what you're saying, because I even bring it up when I'm on stage that not only has Corona changed things, society has changed things in 8 months. You know, so what you could do back in March may not be so appropriate. So you either got to rewrite it to address it or not do it.
Well, I've been saying this, that I figure with what's going on, because again, the Rona is on fire throughout the country again and throughout the world again. England's had has had their third national lockdown, and now we got the more contagious version out there. I feel like who's ever going to these shows is going to lean conservative. That's just the way it is. Because I feel like the liberals are like more like, fuck this. You know, I'm not going out on this, where the conservatives are like, fuck this, let's go.
maybe that's the case, because what I've noticed from doing gigs, and what I've noticed even from doing Santa Claus, is everybody in the room, performer and audience, is so happy to be there. And you'll notice this when you do these shows this weekend. The connection, you're going to notice a connection between an audience that you really never noticed before. I mean, we all have good shows, sometimes we have bad shows, but there is never such a connection that you have where you're all in this together and you're all happy to be out of the house and doing something.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that aspect. Like, I've done a few shows. I've done a few shows. In November I was working inside at a resort. But again, I was the only comic on the show. I only had to do 30 minutes. It was me and a singer and a band. It's different when you're closing the show. I mean, I know, like, when you first start closing shows, you feel like, fuck, I'm closing. Like, you feel this pressure. I don't really, like, I always know I have to deliver, but I don't really feel that pressure. Because, like I said, I'm good at what I do, and I'm not doing many of these gigs that are going to affect my career one way or the other. It's not like, oh, if I just nail this, it's my big break. No, I'm doing shit I've been doing for years, so there's a comfort level with it. And also, besides not being familiar with my act like I usually am, I also have, like, the shows I'm doing a ton of new stuff. I got so much new stuff, and I saw, you know, Joe post something, but it's hard to get motivated with what's going on now, and I agree with that. I just got new Corona shit. It's not like I'm one of these people that that gets motivated when I travel. When I travel, I get creative because I experience new things, I see new things, I experience new types of people. That always motivates me. I'm not traveling. I'm sitting in my basement. I mean, unless I'm one of these guys that's going to write about their family, which I never have, there's not much to do, but I got a lot of new shit.
Well, yeah, it's interesting about getting motivated, especially specifically with that joke. What I posted is, it's tough to get motivated after 2020, going into 2021. It's like writing a song you'll know that Yoko Ono will sing. And I wrote that, and I'm sitting at the workshop last night, and I'm like, I feel this way. I got to kind of word that. So I actually wrote that line. I tweeted it. 10 minutes later, I went up at the mic and I did that. And it went over very well. And I got shows next week. I'm bringing them most of the shows next week. So there's motivation working with your feelings in this whole COVID thing. And the thing about the COVID jokes is that everybody is on board. Like, when you write about a topic, you're like, I hope the people will get what I'm talking about, because everybody's going through the same shit. Everybody's getting what you're talking about, so those jokes usually go over very well.
See, that's different. I know a lot of comics worry, and I guess you especially do in the beginning, I hope they get what I'm talking about. I don't even worry about that shit anymore. Like, now I got to worry about everything. But before I go, nah, fuck it. I think it's funny. I'm going to do it, and I'll just try it. And if they don't like it, I got moves, and I'll get out of it. I've never thought about, I hope they can relate. I still don't really think that way. Now I'm thinking, fuck, I got to talk for 45 minutes or 60 minutes, and I can't cheat. I can't look at my fucking notes. It's like I'm starting all over again when we all start to, oh, my God, how am I going to do 5 minutes?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, because, like, I'll go do a regular show, and I have my set list. I made all my notes, and you know me, I tape everything. I grade everything right every time. So I do have the set list at the table, and when I go up, yeah, I got to leave the list there. So at the beginning, and this was going back in, oh, Jesus Christ, 2 months ago, November, I was all over the place. And I remember I was working at Uncle Vinny's, and Bob Levy was at the gig, and I told Levy, I go, I'm all over the place, but I got to figure out what's working and what's not working, and he agreed with me. you know, because those were the first times I was going up since March. Yeah, right, Ron, was the first time I went up live since March.
I'm just hoping.
I was just trying to see what was working and what wasn't.
I just have to hope, because this isn't like you with Uncle Vinny's where, you know, you're there so much, they know you, you're like regular there, you're there every few weeks. I just have to hope, and you would think they would, but you don't know, that everybody, that the people grading the shows, because every comic is graded, get what the fuck's going on. They realized the last time I was there, I did a great job, but they got to understand, I'm not going up all the time. It's not like you live in Florida, where, like, what's this coronavirus you're talking about? Keep the clubs open. No, our state is shut down. New York is shut down. And, you know, I picked my spots. I really, listen, I'm very lucky.
But
I don't.
You gotta remember something. And I'll never forget, I was told this. If an agent or the club owner is in the room, okay, and, you know, things are going well, they know an audience and they know a comic. And if they're seasoned enough, they'll know how it is, because this place would have people coming in, you know, and know how the audiences are and how the comics are coming in. You know, so, you know, I'm telling you right now, you and I are no different than any other comic in the country right now, you know, doing gigs. You know, I mean, the first ones. I mean, once you get back on the horse again, you know, you get back into your mojo. But every comic going up for the first time in a while is the same way. Everyone, I don't give a shit where you are in this business. It's everybody's the same spot.
Yeah, I mean, this is what I think. I'm going to pull off the first show. It's going to be good. They're going to like it. They're not going to know. This is what I think. When I do my show on Saturday night, which will be the second show, I'm going to feel comfortable in my skin. Because that's what's happened. A lot of times, like when Joe and I did a senior thing a couple months ago, I felt much better the second show. I was rolling. When I did the thing at the resort a month or two ago, second show, I was rolling. But usually when I'm working, it does. I could roll out of bed and hit the stage.
With those senior shows, the good thing about doing the workshops is you're there with a pad of new stuff and you're with comics, so the laughs aren't forthcoming that much. But you're building your cadence. So when we went to do those shows, you know, it's the senior show, but my cadence was fine because I was used. You know, I actually say that at the workshops to the other guys. You know, your cadence is there, so it's a cadence thing. Just keeping your cadence is half the battle, to tell you.
That's true.
You know?
I feel like because I have worked sporadically throughout this, I'm gonna be okay. But the 45 minutes to 60 minutes, I don't know which I have to do. I'm going to plan for 45. That does kind of like that does weigh on me. And now I'm used to doing an hour 15 without even fucking batting an eye. But I have to get rid of so much stuff. I mean, you know, I'm not one of these guys that if a joke gets an applause break, I keep it, even if it's fucking dated. Listen, well, there's still dinosaurs rolling around there that are doing Monica Lewinsky blowjob jokes, and it still gets a good reaction. I had a Donald Trump joke where it was like one of those speed things. You say a lot of things pretty quickly, you get an applause break. It was funny, but it was one of those things. But I mean, it was a guaranteed applause break. I could still do it. I just don't feel like spending that much time on him anymore because he's on the way out. Now, if he had won, I would be able to do Donald Trump stuff for four more years. But, you know, and Joe Biden hasn't really had an opportunity to give me material yet.
Believe me, he's going to be a treasure trove.
Well, listen, here was the good thing about Donald Trump for me, and the difference between me and other people who do Donald Trump. The superficial stuff with Donald Trump is you make fun of his hair or you make fun of his skin color. We've seen a lot of comics do that, and it gets laughs, don't get me wrong. I always try to go someplace else with it. I listen to what he says and what's going on, and in that case, he was a treasure trove for me. I'm hoping what the comics don't do with the Joe Biden, and I know we're going to see a lot of laziness with it, it's going to be like stuff with his memory or shit like that. It'll be like those type of like oh, Joe, like not this joke, but, you know, Joe Biden got lost in a porta potty. Shit like that. Stupid stuff that he's clueless and everything. And that's what all the comics who don't really know what the fuck they're doing, but they work well, they're going to do that shit. I need Joe Biden hasn't given me the next level yet, or the old stuff. The only Joe Biden joke I have is a joke about him being old, which is not fucking brilliant. It's like, oh, I just got used to following a president on Twitter. Now with Joe Biden, I got to follow a president with a telegraph. Okay, it's an old joke. It'll get a laugh. It's not fucking genius, though. Listen, for the country, I hope he doesn't give me a lot of material. As a comic, I need him to give me the next level of shit that Donald Trump gave me. Because Obama didn't give you next level shit. I mean, you know, you saw people do racist shit with Obama, like they had a cookout in the White House and the fried chicken. But, I mean, that was laziness. Even with Bill Clinton, and I was a new comic at the time, so I was guilty of it too, it was blowjob jokes. Donald Trump was the first, and George W. Bush, I had a lot of Bush material, but he had 8 years, and the country went to shit on his watch. But Donald Trump was the first one since I've been doing this, where if you really paid attention, you could really get a lot of stuff, and that's because Donald Trump is the first president that wanted to be in your face every day. Most of these presidents don't want to be in your face every day. They're off presidenting. Even when Donald Trump was presidenting, he needed to tell everybody on Twitter about that shit. Or, you know, there was all these things. So Donald Trump, if you paid attention, was a treasure chest. So I don't know if Joe Biden is going to give us that next level, which is where I get my political stuff, because I don't like doing all the stuff everybody talks about. Are we gonna have verbal faux pas? Yeah, but how much of that shit are we gonna do? I mean, Trump had verbal faux pas. I didn't talk about that very often. How much? I mean, so what are we gonna? Are we gonna do? He's old and clueless and verbal faux pas. Okay.
Well, this is what you do. You know, you if he does something, you know, mostly you look at Twitter and Facebook and you see a whole bunch of shit. It's like, all right, I'll steer clear of that. But if there's something there that nobody's caught, you do it. You know, you get your laugh and you move on to the next thing.
Right, but that's what I'm worried about. I don't think Biden's going to give us that next level because he's not going to be in our face all the time. That's what you need to be out front. That's what was so good about Donald Trump from a comedy thing. Well, there's a lot of things about Donald Trump that was good from a comedy thing. One was that he wasn't, quote-unquote, a politician, even though obviously he is a politician. He's the president. But because of that, you know, he didn't have the niceties that politicians have. Joe Biden's a politician, so you're going to get the niceties. You're not going to get him saying the outrageous stuff. You'll get him saying something stupid with a verbal faux pas. But again, I don't really want to go that route. I didn't go that route with Trump, only like with ridiculous shit, with like, you know, the chlorine injection and shit like that. I don't think we're gonna get that type of.
But you know, but here's the thing: when you write something, you have to, with, at least with me, it's something that's on my mind that I want to say, and I'll see if I can work around. Like I said, the whole frustration thing of not really feeling that motivated going into 2021 for the past couple of days. I've been thinking about it. I go, there's something there. And I just thought, and I found something. You know, so if the president does something or there's something policy coming out and it bugs you, you know, you sit there and go, all right, I got to say something about this. I got to figure it out.
See, this will be better for you. These next 4 years will be, if you decide to do political stuff, will be better for you because, yeah, Donald Trump did so many things that fucking touched me in an inappropriate way that like motivated me. Pip, you're frozen as usual.
I know. I'm trying to get back in.
That motivated me to create. You know, by you know, listen, is Biden going to do things I disagree with?
Hold on. Pip looks like my mom when I used to come in late.
Yeah.
You know, I think I have.
Where have you been?
this is what seems to happen whenever we freeze. So I'm thinking that I have like resting bitch face.
Yeah, you do. You do freeze in a lot of interesting positions. I'll say that.
Where have you been? Well, but that girl coming in late at night like some sort of marauder. Yeah.
I feel like Pip is giving us her Asian impression. I feel like that's what she looks like an Asian redhead right now.
Really?
Yes, because you're, well, you know what, I'm just going to stay away from the rest of that, because whatever, it'll be offensive, and this isn't the point.
There's her credit.
Yeah, but yeah, you, whatever, I'll just leave that there. All right, so I guess see, Pip, you can look at yourself. You see yourself?
Terrifying, no, I can't. I have to go to Facebook to see.
Oh, okay, well, you, all right. But you'll
no, I'm gone.
All right, well, you're still up on my screen.
Oh, yes, I see. Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, don't say anything
angry,
more. You'll get in trouble.
Angry Pepsi won't go away. Angry Pepsi won't go away. Why am I talking like Seinfeld?
No, it's
because you sound whiny and hoarse.
It's disapproval, Pip.
It's always disapproval, Pip. You know, we
mostly
we work through that. All right, so I'm guessing we all stayed. I'm guessing we all stayed home for New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
So some observations from the New Year's Eve spectaculars, if you will. Well, yeah. All right. First of all, Cyndi Lauper for a new year. Really? That doesn't that scream like 1980s? In my mind, Cyndi Lauper is not one of those talents that transcends years. Like, you can make the argument Mariah Carey does. You can make the argument Madonna does. Obviously, Prince and Michael Jackson and that type of thing. U2. But, you know, Cyndi Lauper, I mean, and at that Mar-a-Lago, they had like Berlin, Vanilla Ice, and Taylor Dane. I Cyndi Lauper is just like a notch above that, and she had this plum gig. Is this really how we want to ring in the new year with Cyndi fucking Lauper, one of these major networks? Is that the best we can get? On New Year's Eve, I expect to see young hip talent that I've never heard of before because it's fucking new. Like, it should be fresh. I don't want them trotting out Cyndi Lauper. You know, we trot out the oldies a lot of times.
They had enough on New Year's Rockin' Eve. I don't even know why they call it Rockin' Eve. Four Measures of Dream On during a J-Lo thing is not rockin'.
All right, let's touch on the Dream on J-Lo, because this is in my wheelhouse, the Aerosmith. She started, and I wanted to hate it. I was all getting my little fingers are twitching to write something snarky. I was all ready to fucking nail her on it. But I gotta be honest, she kind of did one of the best jobs I've ever heard of anybody do the Steven Tyler scream. She didn't try to cut it short like so many do when they try to do his scream in that. She did a good job with that. So I'm not gonna nail J-Lo with that. Now with her outfit, yeah, I mean, it looks like I put on Facebook and Twitter, it looked like A-Rod fucking came on her fucking face and made like a tic-tac-toe board on her. But I mean, as far as her hit Nail and Dream On...
Does he come with sparkles, though?
Yes, he's A-Rod. Why do you think he kept on getting suspended?
You know, it was almost like this, that Super Bowl when Lady Gaga came out. And you're sitting there and go, all right, let's get ready to goof on this. It was show-stopping. It was phenomenal. You couldn't say anything. Like, holy shit, this is great.
Yeah. So I feel like as much as I wanted to nail her with the Dream On, I gotta be honest, I thought she did a nice job with it. I've heard much worse versions of Dream On. And then Ryan Seacrest reminded me, and Jennifer Lopez reminded me, they all know each other because they all did American Idol together. You know, Steven [S2] Right. [S1] Tyler was and Jennifer Lopez were judges when Seacrest was holding. So they actually asked Steven Tyler to join them, but I guess he couldn't get out there. So yeah, I had no issue with J-Lo. To me, J-Lo is the type of act you bring out for New Year's Eve. Because even though J-Lo's been around forever, she's so current because she's always putting out fresh new stuff. She always looks fresh. She doesn't look dated. She sounds good. So J-Lo makes sense for me. So even with her ridiculous outfit, I had no issue. But Cyndi Lauper sounded terrible and had no business being... Why don't we just get Flock of Seagulls and call it a fucking night? I mean, really? So
I think that the idea of using 80s bands on New Year's this year is, it's sort of like the audio equipment equivalent of comfort food.
No, it's not. It's not. It's so fucking long ago, and it's not the right place for it. Mar-a-Lago wasn't even the right place for it, because like I said, they had the lead singer from Berlin at Mar-a-Lago, Taylor Dane and Vanilla Ice. If you think about who's at Mar-a-Lago, you gotta be going, oh, and they had the touring version of the Beach Boys. That makes sense to me. Mike Love's version of the Beach Boys at Mar-a-Lago makes sense to me. That's a good booking. Because if you think of Mar-a-Lago, you're not really getting people in their 40s, you're getting people in their 60s.
You're not exactly getting anthrax either. Yeah.
Right. No. But what I'm saying, is, I would rather see them get like Herman's Hermits. You know, I'd rather see shit
Herman's
like
Hermits. Most of them are dead. I don't know how many you're gonna get.
But you only need one. They're a hermit, stupid. They don't travel in packs. They're hermits. They like to be by themselves. It's in the fucking name. Why do I have to explain everything? But no.
the main hermit is still alive.
Exactly.
They're only going to get his hermit. There's probably a lot of hermits that are dead.
My point is, I don't feel like that was good booking anyway. Now listen, if you're Taylor Dane, you're fucking happy somebody remembers you're alive. I didn't know she was. You're happy to get the gig. I guess the lead singer...
I call her old steam shovel Joy. You ever see the Joy in that brush? Holy shit. I always said that she should do a video in the gravel pit singing her hits. Rocks are flying all over the place.
I feel like that's taken strictly from your love of the Flintstones. I really do. I feel like you picture her...
I'm taking it from her look that she's got a draw like a steam shovel.
Okay. I never noticed that, but I haven't seen her...
Sugar, yeah.
I haven't seen her in a long time. So I thought that was bad booking. All right, now we need to go to CNN. Can we bring back Kathy Griffin? I mean, hasn't she fucking suffered enough?
Well, first of all, why are you going to CNN on New Year's Eve for a good time?
But you know what? When Kathy Griffin was there with Anderson Cooper, it was amusing. Again, why the fuck am I home? I'm usually not home. So I'm, you know.
I know.
So I'm flipping around. I know they have a New Year's show. I don't want to fucking watch Cyndi Lauper fucking butcher any more songs. I'm flipping around. And I knew they had a show. And listen, I get it. You know, Kathy Griffin was toxic. And they've had Andy Cohn and Anderson Cooper the past couple of years. I can't anymore. This is some of the stuff on it. First of all, they're taking shots. I don't know what it is with CNN, but every year, like, I guess they feel like their hosts need to be drunk on the fucking New Year's Eve. No, I don't need you to be drunk. I'm fucking drinking to make this tolerable. I don't need you to fucking drink. I need you to be, and like Anderson Cooper, every time he takes a shot, it's like the first time he took it in the ass. He's like fucking spasming, doesn't know what's going on, until he gets into like a warm smile, where he's like, okay, this is okay. Every time he takes a shot, it's like the first time he had a cock in his ass. I don't need that.
Or the first time he took a shot to the face.
But yes, well, yeah, but you know what? If you flop around like that, you're going to get it on the sheets, and that's no good either. You got to take it. I don't need that. I mean, at least Andy Cohen can take a fucking shot. And they had Snoop Dogg on. All right. So here's some of what we were treated to on this. Because, like I said, I'm flipping around. Andy Cohen brings his parents on. And I know Kathy Griffin used to bring her parents on. But they were actually entertaining. So I'm fucking treated to Andy Cohen talking to his old Jewish parents. And it fucking stunk. It went nowhere. You know why? Because his parents aren't entertaining, and Andy Cohen isn't a fucking comic. And I don't even know if a comic could make that shit work. But it was terrible. But here was the thing that where I was like, whoa, that's a little much. And I posted this on Facebook. By the way, did you guys watch any of these? Any of this?
I got up at about 11:45. And it was it's very weird lately because basically usually I'm working at a club or the compound. You know, there's a rockin' compound New Year's Eve party. None of that this year. The compound is pretty much no more parties because the place is being sold and the clubs are all shut down. And I remember since I moved out of my house, moved to my house here, it's very comfortable here. Yeah, I don't have a crazy wife running around and shit. And the past couple of years, I would get up. And I would head over to Ants at about 10. And I'm like, man, I wish I could stay home. And it's kind of nice when you're just waking up and going, it's nice I don't have to go out, you know? So I set my alarm for 11:30. I finally ambered out of bed at 11:45 and started watching. That's why I didn't see so much of those shows. But, I didn't mind being home alone.
All right. Here's the part.
I enjoy not being on the road.
Here's where Andy Cohen... Cohen, I don't know how it's really pronounced. He's a Jewish man. Here's where I'm watching and I'm going, whoa, that's a little much. So Anderson Cooper has a baby boy named Wiley, I believe. So I guess like...
What, do you like cartoons?
I don't know, Joe. I wasn't there for the naming. What do you want me to tell you?
He has a little plushy anvil.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was made by Acme since Anderson couldn't make it. Anyway, so... He's got a little baby boy named Wiley. The kid's like a year old, maybe two. I mean, it's a baby. It's a kid. So he's talking. Anderson's talking about something. How like there's this toy, and the son, Wiley, gets, like, all bossy. About, again, this is the riveting conversation we're having on New Year's Eve. But anyway, Anderson's telling this story about how his son is getting bossy. Andy Cohen goes to Anderson Cooper, goes, "Ah, your son's a bossy bottom." Excuse me? Whoa. 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 We're making a gay power bottom bossy bottom about a little boy? Whoa. That's what I'm going with, really. I think we could bring, as inappropriate as Kathy Griffin was, that's her fucking job. And even I don't think she would make that comment. A bossy bottom about a 1 or 2 year old? Enough. I mean, listen, I'm not offended. I don't give a shit. But, I mean, come on. Is that where we are now?
I can guarantee there was a control truck with about 5 people laughing their balls off in it.
I'm sure.
Yes.
But, I mean, come on. I mean, listen, I'm not offended. They could do whatever they want. I was just thinking, as a comic, I'm going, that's a little much. Maybe pull back, Andy. Pull back. And all these shows... And everything, as we know, has had to rely on the technology we're using right now, which is Zoom or Skype or whatever. Cisco has one, or FaceTime. And, you know, we've gotten okay with it. It's not as good as being in person. We still step on each other a little bit. And, you know, but the gaps in between one person talking and another person talking is pretty okay. There's not these lags. But they're all using this technology. And there's such a lag time between when somebody asks a question and somebody responds, and it's awkward. So then the host doesn't know if they heard, so they start talking again. But now the person who got asked the question starts talking, so they start talking over each other, and they go, okay, you go. It's just awkward. It's horrible. Listen, if this technology is so shitty, don't use it. Don't use it. You know what? Have people in person or don't have these conversations or have hosts that can carry a show or cut down the length of the show because it's just unwatchable. I mean, if I said what I just said now and then there's a 10-second delay for Joe or Pip to respond and then, and then they start and I don't know if they heard this podcast would be more unlistenable than it is. It would be awful. It's just I understand it's the technology and we're all victims of it, but you know, you're fucking national, international shows. You have to be better. And I don't see it everywhere, but it was prevalent on New Year's Eve and I'm just like, fucking stop. Stop. Why don't you hire hosts that can actually carry this shit? Ryan Seacrest, he's a fine host if he doesn't have to create content. Anderson Cooper, he's a fine bossy bottom if he doesn't have to take the lead. but I mean, you're putting it, you know, when you had Kathy Griffin, let me tell you something. Say what you want about Kathy Griffin. Kathy Griffin can fill time. Kathy Griffin can talk and say funny things and offensive things and outrageous things, and she don't need anybody else. Why? Because Kathy Griffin's a comic. She's fucking done the late show. She's done the gig when nobody's there or nobody's listening. Kathy Griffin can fill time. Andy Cohen can't. Anderson Cooper can't. Ryan Seacrest can't. Don Lemon can't. Just fucking Carson Daly can't. Just stop with this shit. Bring in fucking comics. There's enough famous comics, especially this year, who aren't fucking working. Bring in some talent and just do it that way. There were so many things to talk about this year, and they did a. I feel like it was Andy Cohen and Anderson Cooper, they did a conversation with Dulcie Sloan, who's a comedian, and she's on The Daily Show. And again, the timing of it all, because of the technology, was so awful. Don't you guys do a dry run? Don't you guys rehearse? I mean, isn't there something to let you know this isn't going to work? Because if you can't do it, then you know what? Then go to Dulcie Sloan and let her fucking carry it. She's in her room. She's a comedian. She can fucking carry 5 minutes by herself on her observations of what her world... Like, she was talking about, like, dating after COVID and everything. And, like, what it's been like, how she could... Let Dulcie Sloan riff on that shit. Don't try to have a conversation where you're setting Dulcie Sloan up. Because you're fucking... up. You're stepping on her shit, and it makes it unwatchable.
Wow, producers that know about comedy? Wow, that's odd.
I know.
I mean,
no, that... Well, that's the thing, that what you're saying about Anderson Cooper and Andy Cohen, because Andy Cohen is usually asking the provocative questions of the Real Housewives and Bravo celebrities, and so they are the ones who are filling it in with, you know, all kinds of crazy conversation and, you know, just, you know, spurting whatever, you know, nonsense about, you know, gossip. And so it's like he's not the one, and Anderson is usually the commentator but not a comic, so, and he's usually the interviewer, so yeah, but just because they're pals, the two interviewers sitting there together are not the ones that are able to, like, provide the greatest content.
Well, that's
I understand your point.
That's what it is, Pip. You nailed it. What these shows do,
also just one more quick thing, it's also chemistry. I mean, you're slobbing these people together for chemistry. I mean, chemistry is important. I mean, we're at this 11 years now, and it's still okay because we have chemistry. You know?
Well, I'm not going to say Andy and Anderson didn't have chemistry. I'm not going to say that. I mean, they're fine. They're comfortable with each other. But to Pip's point, and I think she's right on this, all these people hosting these shows are interviewers, which is fine if you're going to interview it. But with the technology issues that you have, you can't do that. You need people who can create content, who can carry, who can captivate. It doesn't have to be Kathy Griffin if you're still butthurt with over what she did. That's fine. She was just good on it. Was she a fit for CNN? You wouldn't think so. But, I mean, she was just good on it. Bring in people who can carry it, or go to more musical acts. Fuck it, a musical act you can do that. Like one of the networks, I think it was Fox. They had like previously recorded musical acts. Okay, do that shit. We're just trying to kill time until we get the ball to drop. That's all we're doing. And to Times Square, have you ever seen anything more depressing than empty Times Square on New Year's Eve?
What would be the point of sitting there in front of the emptiness?
Well, I mean, it was just depressing. And listen, this was the one year I would go because there was nobody there. I've never wanted to deal with the crowds or anything. But it's like I listen. I get you want to have this normalcy, so you're gonna go to Times Square. But it's just depressing when you pan around. Now, they did something that was cool. They had some first responders cordoned off, and I like that. That's cool. But there wasn't enough of them. And then I guess, like, de Blasio got shit because he was dancing with his wife. I don't really give a shit. To me, that's not nearly as bad.
I do. That, you know, the son of a bitch tells everybody to stay home, and he's dancing.
Well, he's got to be there, Joe. Joe, he's got to be there. He's the mayor. I mean,
don't fucking dance with your wife. Just be a presence.
You know? I mean, no, I don't really have an issue with it. I thought it was worse when Chris Christie shut down the beaches and then had him and his family on a private beach.
It's the same thing.
It is, but it isn't. I think
of privilege.
Yeah, I think this is worse. I think this is worse because he had to be there. Chris Christie didn't have to be at the beach. But,
no.
But whatever.
That was just showing off.
Yeah, and you know, Chris, listen, at that point, Chris Christie's like, well, my term is up. I don't give a shit. Fuck you, bitches. I get it. Whatever. But, you know, listen, I wasn't upset about that. It was just depressing. But, I mean, we had a good time. We had a good time. My wife made cocoa bombs. Are you familiar with these cocoa bombs?
No,
I saw that on, I was like, are they truffles?
So what a cocoa bomb is, and my wife made them, so good for her. Way more ambitious than me. You can make them or buy them. So you get the shells, like the round shells. You melt chocolate in it. And inside you put cocoa powder, like hot cocoa powder, like Swiss Miss or whatever, and like marshmallows. And then while it's still liquidy, while it's still the chocolate's still soft, you push it together so it forms a ball. And then you put it in hot water or hot milk, and then it dissolves, and that you get the hot cocoa with the marshmallows and everything. It's a lot of work to get hot cocoa. That's really what the fuck it is. But people are giving them as Christmas presents and everything. So my wife did that. God bless her. You know, it was fun. And we played Monopoly. And I gotta tell you, I had enough. Here's how bad our Monopoly game was. This was the Monopoly. First of all, I rule at Monopoly. They know that. They can't fucking beat me. I'm the Baron of this here ship. Here was Monopoly, though. They had no monopolies. I had Baltic and Mediterranean, which is like the worst property, and I had three fucking railroads. That was what I had. And we were playing for hours. I go, that's enough. I don't have enough to beat you guys for you guys to go bankrupt. You're never going to make anybody go bankrupt on $6 here and $14 here. And they wouldn't do trades with each other. I'm like, enough. I had to walk away. I couldn't do it anymore.
Unless you can slaughter somebody, it's not fun.
No, but if there's no end in sight, because here's the thing. My highest property, this is how bad New Year's is. I'm talking about Monopoly on my show, but real quick. My highest property with a hotel is $450. If you land on it, you've just passed go. So you're getting $200. So really what it is you're losing $250 on it. I can't make you go broke on that. And if you land on one of my railroads, it's $100. This game, I wouldn't be able to do this show right now. We would still be playing this game. I had to leave. I couldn't take it anymore.
Well, Lisa was saying that what would make a more entertaining New Year's Eve is if they had used puppets. And she was thinking Oscar the Grouch, Big Bird, and Calvin from Calvin and Hobbes.
Nobody knows Calvin and Hobbes anymore. You know, here, but she's on to something. Here's who should host CNN next year, going along with what Lisa's saying. You get Joe probably knows the name. I can't think of the name. But the two grouchy old judges from the Muppets.
Oh, Statler and...
That would have been perfect.
Oh yeah, that would have been great.
You just give them 2 hours ripping apart everything that is the abortion of 2020. That would be hilarious. Let the Muppets carry the fucking show. That would have been better, and I wouldn't have had to hear your 1-year-old is a bossy bottom. What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you, Andy Epstein? Slow down.
Statler and Waldorf. Waldorf.
Yes. Always comedy gold. You know what they are? They are Statler and Waldorf were the internet trolls before there was internet.
They didn't like a goddamn thing, those two.
But they were funny. They weren't like you didn't take it badly. So many people on these type of shows. And actually, tonight I've done it too. But like so many podcasts and radio shows, people without comedic chops, like they try to be edgy, so they just shit on everything. And tonight I realized I just shit on New Year's Eve. But usually I don't shit on things. I mean, tonight I was that guy. I was the guy with the internet or the radio show who just shit on everything. So I apologize. But hopefully I added some humor to it. But that's like this persona on the internet and the podcast to shit on things. Statler and Waldorf were those things before anybody else was doing it, but they were funny. They were, of course, you only had to listen to them for like 30 seconds at a time. But yeah, they were funny. All right.
They would do a skit, and then right after the skit, they're up in the balcony. Jesus Christ, what was that? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Give me an hour show of Statler and Waldorf counting down the abortion that was 2020. Do that, then have the ball drop, and then have them rip on the fucking stupid ball. Thank you, good night, go home.
I gotta tell you, so I was talking to a friend of mine, and she was telling me about an Irish tradition where you open the back door and then you open the front door, and you throw the old year out and you rush to the new year in. I opened my patio door and I'm like, get the fuck out. I was like a bouncer at a dance club. Get the fuck out. Get the fuck out, you horrible fucking year. Yeah, I was, yeah.
I'm pretty sure Andy Cohen said something about opening the back door to Anderson Cooper, but I don't recall. But I'm pretty sure he said
that probably got laid on the truck, too.
Yeah, oh, yeah. The truck was dying. The staff was crazed. Lisa and Lisa 1 eye and Lisa 2 eye. We got both Lisas in the house. They both say that they would watch the Muppet version of this crew.
That would be fantastic. That would be. I would be Kermit. I would be Kermit trying to keep all the balls in the air. Joe would definitely be like a Statler or a Waldorf or like Sam the Eagle.
Nah,
Oscar's got charm. You would be Sam. You would be Sam the. You would be Sam the Eagle or Statler or Waldorf. I could definitely see you being that. Like I could just see Joe like Sam the Eagle, Statler, Waldorf. I don't know what would you be, Pip? Who would you be?
Miss Piggy.
I didn't want to say that. What? No, but you're not really
a Miss Piggy. I think that's a gimme.
No, not really. I mean, you're not really a Miss Piggy. You're not, ooh, Kermie, Kermie, go down on me, Kermie, and get some bacon. Ooh, love me, Kermie. You're not really that type of personality. What, no?
No, I guess not. No, and thank you for not jumping to Miss Piggy on your own. But I don't really know, because Big Bird is too innocent, and I don't know, like, I don't know if there is a Muppet that's like me.
I don't know, maybe Animal.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, thank you, yes.
All right.
Yes.
There we go. But you guys agree I would be Kermit?
Yes.
You got the background to start off with.
Thank you, Joe.
Kermit with an edge.
Hi-ho, this is Kermit the Frog. Welcome to Kermit's Pad.
All right.
Yeah, welcome to Pad, yeah.
Wow, I felt like Pip was going to come through the screen and eat me. Wow, all right, that was very...
That was Animal.
But I do like a Muppet. But I think there was a little bit of an insult, like we are Puppet-esque, like we are Muppets in our own right. A little bit of an insult from the Lisa Tannen. We don't need that shit. Three eyes.
Three eyes.
Well, you know what they say. Three eyes are better than two. Okay, let's take our first break of the new year. Joe is surprisingly talkative. I did not expect Joe to contribute so much. So we'll see if Joe's voice continues. He sounds sexy though. It's sexy horse Joe. Usually it's,
yes, it is.
Usually it's horse's ass Joe.
Phone sex,
but
Joe.
What?
This is phone sex Joe.
It's phone sex Joe. Yeah, absolutely. Right. Get me involved. Anyway, all right. So on the break we have new music from Bianca Alana with Who Am I to Judge, and Indira with her cover of It's a Heartache. And you can learn more about both those artists at deucemusic.com. When we come back, we got lots of lists, but we're not going to go through lots of lists. But that we got the School of Fools, which actually could have been an outstanding display of spite. You know, the N-word causes all sorts of issues, even when you think it's dead and buried. That was Joe's blow. Joe, are you going to, after I explain that, are you going to give your take, or do you want me to go through that? Because you're working hurt.
No, I could go through my take on that.
All right. We got a race offender registry. That was one of our polls. We got a COVID registry. That was one of our polls. We got Lake Superior State. We're going to get drunk to the news. So much more to do. And then later on, we got the scamming scammers. So stick around. Enjoy the musical break. We will be right back.